Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In the past couple weeks, our gospel readings from Advent have talked about John the Baptist speaking and preaching boldly about repentance and forgiveness, telling the people that the kingdom of heaven is near. But if you remember, at the very end of our gospel reading from last week, it told us that John, though he was preaching so boldly, and probably because he was preaching so boldly, was placed into prison. So though he had been living and preaching, baptizing in the wilderness, now he was trapped, imprisoned by wicked and evil men. And this is the state that we find him in today. It is from this place, in prison, where he asks Jesus the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" He sends two of his disciples to go ask Jesus this question. And theoretically, Jesus could have simply just said, yes. He could have just affirmed that he was the Christ and sent them back to John, sent them on their way. But Jesus, out of great love and mercy for those disciples, for John, for all of his disciples, and for you today, showed them that he is the Christ. It says, "In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight." Through these mighty acts of power, he proved himself to be the Christ. He proved himself to be the Christ by showing all these acts of God that he is able to perform with his own hand and with his own word. He proved himself to be the Christ by fulfilling all of the things that the prophets of the Old Testament said that the Christ would do when he comes. Like in our Old Testament reading, Zephaniah said, "I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth." And like Isaiah the prophet said, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped." Jesus performed all of these things and proved that he is the one who is to come. He is the Christ. And after he did all this, he told the disciples of John, "Go and tell John all that you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Go and tell John all that you see and hear. And when he performed those works in front of those disciples, he allowed them to see and hear his power, that he is the Christ. And when he told them to go testify back to John, he allowed John to see and hear all that he had accomplished. And thanks be to God that out of love for you, Jesus allows this to be recorded in the scriptures in order that you too might see and hear what he has done for you. When you hear the testimony of Christ, when you hear of his power, when you hear of all that he has done for you, you see and hear your salvation. That's the message that Jesus had for those disciples. That's the message he had for John. That's the message he has for you today as well. See and hear that your salvation, Jesus Christ your Lord, is here. Going over again what Jesus said to deliver back to John. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Once again, this proves that Jesus is the Christ because he fulfilled all these things and showed his mighty power. And above all, it shows that he cares for his people. He saw all these people in need, cared for them, loved them, and used his power in order to heal them. And then also, these healings that he does for people, are pictures of what he does for everyone. When he heals people in his earthly ministry, it shows us how he gives us all healing through the forgiveness of our sins, how he will heal us all again on the last day when he raises us up to bring us home to be with him in heaven. When Jesus healed the blind, it also shows us how Jesus gives us eyes of faith to see him and his salvation. When he gave hearing to the deaf, it shows us also how he gives us ears to hear and believe in his word and through his Holy Spirit. When he caused the lame to walk and caused the lepers to be cleansed, this reminds us that he gives us healing from sin and will raise up our bodies again on the last day. When he raised up those people from the dead, this is a reminder that he will raise us all up on the last day and bring us home to be with him in heaven with new, renewed, and glorified bodies. And it is a wonder and a privilege that Jesus shows us his power to save and shows us the salvation that he brings us through his earthly ministry. Because sometimes what we see and hear in this life might not necessarily seem to line up with what we see and hear from Jesus. What we see and hear in this life might not seem to reflect what we know in faith Christ has done for us. This is certainly the circumstance that John found himself in on that day. John, who at the privilege of baptizing Jesus with his own hand, got to see the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove and dwell on him, and got to hear the very voice of the Father coming down from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And then Jesus, when he began his ministry, would read this passage from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and say that he was fulfilling it. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus read these words saying that he was going to set at liberty those who are oppressed, saying that he was going to set the prisoners free. And certainly John knew that this was true, knew that he believed it, but then here he is sitting in prison. He knows Jesus has come to set the prisoners free, set at liberty those who are oppressed, and then here he is rotting in jail, put there by wicked men. There have been a lot of debates about why John asks this question of Jesus: are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Basically, the two options that we have are saying that John is personally doubting whether or not Jesus is the Christ, so he is asking Jesus so he can get assurance for himself. There are also people who think that John is just asking this question on behalf of his disciples so that they can believe, but he personally is not doubting. There have been faithful Christians, faithful theologians that have come to both of these conclusions, and I think that you can read this passage and come to either one of those. But I do want to say, I don't think John's faith is gone at this point. I definitely don't think John is unfaithful even as he's sitting in prison. Because I don't see it as possible, really, that he could hear the voice of the Father from heaven and the Spirit descending on Jesus as a dove and then just 100% completely turn away from God just because he was put into prison. It might be plausible that he might be wavering a little bit. His faith might be weak. Perhaps he's doubting. This doesn't mean his faith is completely gone. If we ever have doubts or maybe wavering, especially when we are personally being afflicted, this does not mean that we are completely faithless, but rather this is just a time where God might be wanting to strengthen us in our faith. But no matter what conclusion we come to about the state of John's own heart at that time, whether he was personally doubting or whether he was just trying to teach his disciples, the result is the same. What he does is the same. He turns back to Jesus, and he turns his disciples back to Jesus. And that is the response that we should all have. If there are ever any doubts, if we're ever wavering in the faith, we should not take this as a sign that God has abandoned us or that everything that we thought to be true previously now can't be true because we are now suffering, but rather God is giving us as an opportunity to turn back to him, to revisit his word, to remember once again his promises. So when you hear of blessing and salvation in Christ, but experience trials and hardship in this life, do not take this as a sign that Christ's salvation is not for you or that it's not true, but rather each and every day, especially in the times of trials and suffering, turn back to Jesus and once again see and hear all that he has done for you. See and hear that he has given you the forgiveness of sins through his suffering, death, and resurrection on the cross. See and hear that he promises you eternal healing for your souls in the kingdom of heaven. See and hear that he promises you eternal life and the resurrection from the dead. And because you know that he promises to deliver you even through death into life forever, you know that no matter what you're facing in this life, no matter what sufferings or trials you might be going through, none of these things can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ promises to deliver you through each and every one of your sufferings and trials. He has taken on all your sufferings and trials into himself when he died on the cross, and he promises you life even from death. And when Christ promises you life even from death, we can face any of these sufferings or trials head on. What can man do to me? What could Satan possibly do to me? Christ has already delivered me through it all, through his own suffering and death and his own resurrection from the dead. We Christians have no guarantee that our life is going to be without trials. Believing in Jesus does not make your life easier. It might even make it harder because we are inundated with attacks from Satan because of our faith in Christ. Jesus certainly does not guarantee your life is going to be easy. He actually guarantees that in this life you will have trouble. The promise isn't that your life's going to be easy, but the promise is that he delivers you through it. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John didn't get relief from his troubles in his earthly life. He stayed in prison. And if you remember how that story ends up, he was beheaded, executed, essentially just because of a sick joke and a sick bet from Herod. That doesn't seem like a very positive or climactic end to the man that Jesus in our gospel reading said that was the greatest born of women. It doesn't seem like a very happy ending for John. But the reason why John is blessed, the reason why John is great in the kingdom of heaven, is not because of how his earthly life ended up, but rather it's because of what Jesus promised to bring him through. It's because Jesus promised to bring him into heaven. Because Jesus will raise John from the dead on the last day, because John is with Christ now in heaven, no matter what he had to face in this life, he is blessed. He is forgiven. And in the same way, no matter what you might face in this life, no matter how your life on this earth might end, you know that your destination is the same as John, the same destination that Christ has prepared for you through the forgiveness of your sins. He promises you forgiveness. He promises you eternal life. He promises you that you will be raised up on the last day with a glorified and eternal body. And even though we might go through suffering in this life, Christ gives you the eyes of faith to see him and see his salvation even in the midst of suffering. He gives you the ears of faith to hear his voice even when the world is trying to drown him out. In Christ, you are healed of all of your sin and corruption. For Christ preaches his good news of salvation to you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you suffer, every single day, see and hear that Christ your Lord comes to save you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.